fell upon a certain pleasant time in the springtide season that King Arthur and his court were making a royal progression through that part of Britain which lieth close to the forests of the Usk. At that time the weather was exceedingly warm, and so the king and court made pause within the forest under the trees in the cool and pleasant shade that the place afforded, and there the king rested for a while upon a couch of rushes spread with scarlet cloth. Now as the king lay drowsing, his knights sat holding cheerful converse together at that place, there came of a sudden a considerable bustle and stir upon the outskirts of the court, and presently there appeared a very sad and woeful sight. For there came thitherward a knight, sore wounded, and upheld upon his horse by a golden-haired page, clad in an apparel of white and azure. Oh. And likewise the knight's apparel and the trappings of his horse were of white and azure. And upon his shield he bore the emblazonment of a single lily flower of silver upon a ground of pure azure.
Oh, whoa!
But the knight was in a very woeful plight.
Oh!
For his face was as pale as wax and hung down upon his breast. Oh. And his eyes were glazed and saw naught that passed around him. And his fair apparel of white and blue was all red with the blood of life that ran from a great wound in his side.
Oh, woe is...
And as they came upon their way, the young page lamented in such wise that it wrung the heart for to hear him.
All right, I'm sad, distraught and upset, unhappy, depressed, and my humors are at an all-time low. Now be quiet, or I'm going to make you like my master. Now shut up!
King Arthur, aroused, cried out,
Alas, is this any way to greet your king? Oh, not you, my liege, I meant the other. The narrator, the voiceover. Just get in, don't draw your weapons, I was just practicing. Oh, for when I did see the king, that I could relay my most important messages for which my master so bravely forfeited his life.
I'm not dead.
The message for which my master eventually died to see delivered.
I'm feeling better.
The message for which my master, who, just when he was feeling better and almost able to deliver in person, suffered a sudden and unexpected fatal blow to the head. No weapons. It's not necessary, really. You see, once you hear the message, you won't need any further explanations. Just give me a moment to collect my ideas, if you permit, oh mighty liege.
Young fair page is quite tight. Rake him to my pavilion, along with his young master, and attend to his every desire tight away. Rear will I deceive his massage.
So certain of those knights hastened at the king's bidding, and gave all succour to the wounded knight, and conveyed him to King Arthur's own pavilion, which had been pitched at a little distance. And when he had come there, the king's chirurgeon presently attended upon him. Albeit his wounds were of such a sort, he might not hope to live for a very long while. Meantime, Sir Kay brought that fair young page before the king, where he sat, and the king thought that he had hardly ever seen a more beautiful countenance. And the king said,
Well, what brings a nice boy like you to an awful place like this?
Oh, fair liege, this may sound a little odd, but I've got the message ready, and this is exactly how it is, verbatim. It says, Mystery Playhouse is sponsored by Comics and Comics Toys and Games at 405 California Avenue.
Said quote, Mystery Playhouse is sponsored by Comics and Comics Toys and Games at 405 California Avenue, unquote. We now return you to the music of Raymond Raquello, playing for you.
Those creatures know what that means, what anything means. Wait a minute, something's happening.
Ladies and gentlemen, due to circumstances beyond our control, we are unable to continue the broadcast.
Now here's another bulletin from Washington, D.C.
Martial law prevails throughout. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a grave announcement to make.
So that we may confront this destructive adversary.
Everything wiped out. This may be the last broadcast. We'll stay here to the end.
There is nothing wrong with your radio. Do not attempt to change the station. We are controlling the transmission. We control the volume.
We can change the tone to a fuzzy bass.
Or focus it to a tinny treble.
We can speed things up so fast you can hardly understand what's being said.
Or we can make things so slow you don't care.
We control the content. We can make it boring.
Mystery Playhouse.
Or moronic.
90.1.
We can even make it repetitive.
Mystery Playhouse.
Or moronic.
90.1.
We can even make it repetitive. It's our show. We can do anything we want, because this is...
Mystery Playhouse. 90.1.
Congratulations on buying the executive version of this record. You have chosen wisely, and we value your discerning taste in deciding to pay the few extra pence for a product of real quality. Everything on this record has been designed to meet the exacting standards which you have naturally come to expect. The record itself is made from the very finest Colombian extruded polyvinyl. The center hole has been created to fit exactly onto your spindle with all the precision of finest Swiss craftsmanship. The audio content has been quality graded to give you the finest in listening pleasure. There is little or no offensive material apart from four p***s, one clitoris, and a foreskin. And as they only occur in this opening introduction, you're past them now. You can relax and enjoy this quality product. Secure in the knowledge that it has been specially created for the lover of fine things and the man of good taste. Oh, sorry. You can edit that out, can't you?
Yeah, no problem.
The three horsemen, death, plague, and hunger, ride into the city of Andenburg to oversee its destruction. Ghouls from the north have been sent to maim and kill.
Burn the city!
Leave no one alive!
Death! And destruction!
Plague!
Hunger!
The boy, after him! Do not let him get away!
All in the city are slain, except a young boy running away from his burning home. Hunger and plague seize the boy by the arms and throw him to his knees. Plague grabs him by the hair, pulling his head back, exposing his throat. He then raises his scimitar above the boy with the sharp blade ready to strike.
Here, boy, did you think you could escape the three horsemen? We who have rode through history. Soon my scimitar will cut into your throat.
No, Plague. The boy must live. His name is not written on the scroll.
But death, no mortal's eyes may look upon us and survive.
The boy is not mortal.
Let the boy go. He is not for us. The boy is thrown to the ground, unconscious, and left alone in the burning city as the three horsemen ride away.
It was night at Castle Greyskull. Everyone was sleeping soundly except the sorceress. She was having a terrible dream. In the dream, she heard a voice cry out.
He may have defeated us, but you'll never see this child again.
Waking from her dream, she shouted out a mysterious name.
Adora! The sword!
Before the sorceress's eyes, hovering in midair, was a glowing sword that looked exactly like He-Man's sword of power, except for a shining jewel in the handle. As the sorceress stared in amazement, the magical sword began to float away. She jumped out of bed and followed it until it stopped before a door of mystery. The door creaked open, revealing a glowing gate. Suddenly, the sword lost its glow and fell to the floor. The sorceress picked it up with wonder.
Can it be? After so long.
Welcome to the rear stalls. I'm in row T, just three seats along from the legendary seat 12. And now, the titles are coming to an end as the film finally gets, well and truly, all your own. I'm sorry, I don't know why I said that. Anyway, the film is now underway. And it's going quite well at the moment. Well, the audience here certainly enjoys that visual joke. I only hope the soundtrack does justice to it, because it certainly was the most outstanding joke. Well, it's still all pretty visual so far.
Who goes there? It is I, Arthur, son of Uther Pendragon from the castle of Camelot.
This is the first dialogue King of the Britons, scene. A very funny little scene, this Saxon. Between Arthur Sovereign and his servant all England. And two unnamed
Pull
soldiers standing
am,
on the battlements
and this is
of
my
this
trusty
castle.
Servant Patsy. We have ridden the length and breadth of the land in search of knights who will join me in my court at Camelot.
Keep,
I must speak with your lord and master.
Probably. And Arthur is engaged in asking the
You're
soldier standing
what?
Right up
You've
there on the top of the wall
of coconut,
if he knows of any
together.
Knights
so,
who might be prepared
we have ridden
to join
since the snows
King
of winter
Arthur
covered this land
the
through the
table.
Kingdom of Mercia, through where did you get the coconuts?
In a cheerful
we found them.
Quite
found
unexpected
them? In Mercia, the coconuts tropical.
Later, from the shadows, a white-bearded old man in a silver-gray robe walks toward the boy.
Arise, young wolf.
Who are you?
I am Brogan, a sage.
What happened?
Your home was destroyed, and death has passed you by. Take my hand, wolf angel.
How did you know my name?
I have waited and watched for you.
I do not understand you.
You will someday. Now, come with me to my home. You will need rest.
The sage reaches out his hand to the boy. and they walk off into the forest of Andenburg. For many years, under the guidance of the old sage, Wolf Angel trains in the arts of sword and sorcery. He is now a strong, muscular young man, and on this day he is training in the forest. In a tree above him sits Brogan, shouting commands down to him.
Yes, yes, bend your knees. Arc the sword a little higher. Good, lean back. No, thrust upwards, parry sideways. All right, put the sword down. Come here and try these. Reach up to me and take them.
What are they?
They're morning stars. I've given you five. Now, aim them towards that tree over there. One at a time.
How?
Use them as if you were hurling a stone.
Like this?
Yes. Again. One star missed the tree. That could have meant your life. You'll need more practice.
Brogan, this training is endless. When will I finish?
When your soul and mind work as one, then you will finish.
Why do I train? I must have an answer.
The knowledge of oneself is sometimes a great burden to bear. But very well. I will tell you what you wish to know. Climb up the tree and sit by me. For many years, I studied the magical scrolls from the lost city of Taldor. They foretold of the coming of one who would balance the powers of good and evil. For evil is growing, and its roots reach out to strangle all that is good. I set out to search for the one, following the symbols of the scrolls, and I found you. The angel of death himself has passed you by.
Who am I?
Well, in a way, you are my successor, but you will live far longer than I or any mortal man. Now, let us dispense with the physical arts of the sword and the stars, and turn to the study of music and its power over the mind. Find your lutar and weave me a song of power.
That night, in the sage's home, Wolf Angel falls asleep. In his dreams, he feels himself awakening, and standing before him is the angel of death, beckoning him into a symphony for the dead.
infants.
I'm not dead.
What?
Nothing. Here's your ninepence.
I'm not dead.
Here. He says he's not dead.
Yes, he is.
I'm not.
He isn't?
Well, he will be soon. He's very ill.
I'm getting better.
No, you're not. You'll be stone dead in a moment.
Oh, I can't take him like that. It's against regulations.
I don't want to go on the car.
Oh, don't be such a baby.
I can't take him.
I feel fine.
Well, do us a favour.
I can't.
Well, can you hang around a couple of minutes? He won't be long.
No, I've got to go to Robinson's. They've lost 9 today.
Well, when's your next run?
Thursday.
I think I'll go for a walk.
You're not fooling anyone, you know. Look, isn't there something you can do?
I feel happy. I feel happy.
Ah, oh, thanks very much.
Not at all.
See you on Thursday.
Later, Prince Adam received a mental message from the sorceress summoning him to Castle Greyskull. When Adam and his tiger Cringer arrived, the sorceress showed the prince the glowing gate. Prince Adam was puzzled.
Well, if it's a gate, where does it go to?
That I cannot say. This door has never opened before.
And you want me to pass through it? And find someone in the world it leads to?
This sword shall lead you to the one you seek.
Why, except for this jewel, this sword looks exactly like mine.
And like yours, it is meant for someone with a very special destiny.
But how?
Adam, please, ask no questions. Until you find this one, I can say nothing. The very fate of the universe may depend on your success.
The prince turned to his tiger and asked,
Well, ready for an adventure, Cringe?
An adventure? I haven't even had lunch yet.
Enter the gate now, Prince Adam, and good luck to you.
Man!
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh, how'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship, a self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would
realize... Please, please, good people, I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh?
After walking through the glowing gate, Adam and Cringer found themselves in the world of Etheria. They continued on until they came upon the village of Thamor. Finding an inn where they could eat, Prince Adam and Cringer went inside. Seated in the corner was a handsome young man named Bo. On his shoulder sat his pet Cowl, an owl with butterfly-like wings. When Bo spotted Adam, he asked Cowl,
"You think he's a spy for the Horde, Cowl?"
It seems quite unlikely, Bo. The only time a Hordesman ever smiles is when he's doing something awful to someone.
A few minutes later, three Horde troopers entered the tavern and immediately started trouble. They attacked the harp player and destroyed his harp. Adam and Bo jumped into the battle. The troopers were strong, but clumsy, and were no match for the two young men. After the fight was over, Adam and Bo shook hands and introduced themselves.
"My name's Adam. Mine's Bo. Good to meet you, Adam."
"I don't mean to be an alarmist, Bo, but when the Horde finds out about this, oh, they're sure to send a force squad after us."
"You're right. You better come with us, Adam. They'll be after you, too."
"Where are we going?"
"Whispering Woods, of course. From now on, my friend, you are part of the Great Rebellion."
As Wolf Angel grew older, he would often ride away from the kindly old sage to fight as a warrior against the works of evil. Many adventures befell him, and he became a hero to the good people of his world. One day, on his way back to the sage's home, Wolf stops by a water pool to quench his thirst. The pool is surrounded by trees, grass, rocks, and a small waterfall cascading down into clear, bubbling water. As he walks towards the pool, his eyes behold a lovely maiden bathing and singing.
"La, la, 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 la."
"Good day. You sing very well. May I hear more?"
"Huh? No. Who are you?"
"Do not be frightened. I am only a fool in need of water."
"Well, fool, you may neither hear nor see more from me. Now go away. I'm bathing."
"Look."
"What?"
"There's a snake."
"Snake? Where?"
"In the water."
"Oh! Ah!
Down, snake."
"Did you kill it?"
"No."
"No? Why not?"
"Fool,
I never saw a snake."
"I thought I saw a snake."
"You thought you saw a snake?"
"Look over here. It's not a snake, it's a branch."
"A branch?"
"I'm sorry."
"Sorry? You scared me to death. I jumped out of the pool with nothing on. And you're sorry? At least turn around while I slip on my dress. And close your eyes."
"Oh, not a peep from me."
"I thought I told you not to look."
"Forgive me, I..."
"There, I'm dressed. Good day, fool."
"My lady, I beg you, do not leave."
"Let go of my hand."
"Please stay. I know we have known each other only a short time, but I knew from the moment our eyes met that I loved you."
"Ha! Do you take me for a tavern wench who easily falls prey to a sweet tongue such as yours?"
"Don't you see? Fate has brought us together. And one day we will marry."
"I will never marry a fool."
"Then who will you marry?"
"I will marry a great knight, a warrior, a conqueror, not a mere fool."
"Hmm.
You do not believe me? 'Tis true."
"Who then?"
"Wolf Angel."
"Wolf Angel?
Have you not heard of Wolf Angel?"
"Well..."
"He is a great knight and has saved many villages from being ravished. They say he has met with death and survived."
"No."
"Yes, 'tis true. And here I am, a serving wench, made to bow and stoop to those of the higher class. In this way, fool, we are alike, you and I. Oh, but maybe someday, if I dream long enough and wish hard enough, I will find my hero."
"But haven't you found him?"
"Oh."
"Tell me, what brings you so far from the village?"
"I am gathering toadstools for the mistress of my household. Now, enough of your questions, fool. Sing me a song."
"Very well. I am at your service."
"Weave me a tale of great knights and great deeds, that I may close my eyes and dream of them."
"But to whom do I sing? Surely you must have a name."
"'Tis Rihanna. Now sing, fool."
"First, you must promise me a kiss."
"Oh, very well. But first, you must sing.
When that's the round table, we dance where we're able. We do routines and corner scenes with footwork impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. When that's the round table, our shows are raw, they're able. So many times we give them rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're like a mad in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm.
I have to push the pram along.
Meanwhile, in another part of Etheria, in the Fright Zone, the cruel leader of the Horde, the evil Hordak, was listening to his advisor, Shadow Weaver, a wicked woman with mysterious powers.
Well, my dark magics have told me that a stranger from another world has come to Etheria, and he brings with him the seed of great trouble for the Horde.
Where is this stranger?
He was in the kingdom of Bright Moon, but my spells can no longer find him.
Send Force Captain Adora to me at once. I have a plan which will bring this stranger into the open, and then we will teach him it's not nice to cause trouble for the evil Horde.
Arthur, King of the Britons. Oh, don't grovel. One thing I can't stand, it's people groveling.
Sorry.
And don't apologize. Every time I try to talk to someone, it's sorry this and forgive me that, and I'm not worthy. What are you doing now?
I'm averting my eyes, O Lord.
Well, don't. It's like those miserable psalms. They're so depressing. Now knock it off.
Yes, Lord.
Right. Arthur, King of the Britons, your knights of the Round Table shall have a task to make them an example in these dark times.
Good idea, O Lord.
Of course it's a good idea. Behold, Arthur, this is the Holy Grail. Look well, Arthur, for it is your sacred task to seek this grail. That is your purpose, Arthur. The quest for the Holy Grail.
Night.
Well, here is your kiss, fool.
The song was worth more.
Good day, fool. I'm not to be bought and sold for the price of a song.
Goodbye, Rihanna.
Rihanna walks toward her village as night begins to fall.
I lingered too long listening to the fool. Though his song was sweet and he was a pleasant sort of fellow, the day grows dark and I'm due back before nightfall. I must hurry. Oh! Who's there? Fool, is that you? This is no time to play games. Fool!
One dark hand stretches out toward Rihanna. She freezes, paralyzed by some unseen power, and then falls to the ground. Two dark figures carry her away.
We have found a witch, may we burn her?
Burn her!
Burn her!
Burn her!
Who do you know she is a witch?
She looks like one!
Yes, 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 yes.
Bring her forward.
I'm not a witch.
But you are dressed as one.
They dress me up like this. And this isn't my nose, it's a false one.
Well?
Well, we did do the nose.
The nose?
And the hat. But she is a witch.
Did you dress her up like this?
No.
Yes. A bit.
She has got a wart.
What makes you think she is a witch?
Well, she turned me into a newt.
A newt?
We got better.
Burn her anyway!
Burn her! There are ways of telling whether she is a witch.
Are there? Oh, what are they?
Tell her! Tell me. What do you do with witches?
Burn them!
And what do you burn apart from witches?
More witches!
Wood! So, why do witches burn?
Because they're made of wood.
Good!
Oh, yeah.
So, how do we tell whether she is made of wood?
Build a bridge out of her.
Ah, but can you not also make bridges out of stone?
Oh, yeah.
Does a wood sink in water?
No.
No, it floats. It floats.
Throw her into the pond.
What also floats in water?
Bread.
Apples.
Very small rocks.
Cider.
A great gravy.
Cherries.
Mud.
A churches.
Churches.
Lead.
A duck.
Exactly. So, logically,
if she weighs the same as a duck, she's made of wood.
And therefore,
a witch!
A witch! A witch!
While Hordak was making his evil plans, Adam and Bo arrived at the rebel camp in Whispering Woods. There, Bo introduced Adam to the rebel leader, a young woman named Glimmer.
Oh.
Glimmer, this is Adam.
Pleased to meet you.
Adam helped me teach some Horde troopers a lesson in Thamor.
Glimmer's mother, Queen Angela, had been captured by the Horde, and Glimmer lived for the day when the rebels would defeat them and set her mother free. Just then, a witch and her broom crash-landed in Whispering Woods. It was the lovable Madame Raz and her talking friend, Broom. Glimmer ran to help her.
Madame Raz, are you all right?
Oh, dearie my, yes. But there was something important I had to tell you. Now, what was that again?
The village of Thamor, the Horde.
That's it! The Horde has placed the entire village of Thamor under arrest.
Rogan, where are you?
Over here, doing some reading.
About what?
The magical properties of lycanthropes. Very interesting.
What?
Well, when a human female mates with a lycanthrope, the offspring is usually half wolf, half human. You should read this.
Maybe later. Brogan, you look tired. Have you eaten today?
Well, Wolf, I've been busy.
I'll fix you something to eat. What would you like?
Oh, don't go to any bother on my account.
What was that? I've never heard such a cry before.
I'm afraid I have. It's the cry of the Banshee.
The what?
The Banshee. If my memory serves me well, they come from the north. They're ghouls of a sort. Their souls have been enslaved by one known as the Demon King. They roam the land seeking female virgins as sacrificial objects for their sick demonic rituals. Once a virgin is sacrificed, she's then resurrected and transformed into a banshee. They have never strayed so near to us before.
I met a maiden not long ago down near the pond. She was far from the village and was traveling on foot.
Then she is in grave danger. They will hunt her down. She may never reach the village alive.
Then I must hurry and save her.
Take heed, Wolf. They are dangerous. If you find she has been captured by the Banshee, travel north through the forest. But be wary of the She-Wolf. When you reach the clearing, journey towards the mountains. The Demon King's stronghold is hidden high up, somewhere among the rocks. Remember what I have said.
I will remember and return to you.
Stanford, so scary!